We're very thankful this morning to have each and every person on, especially those of you who are not members of the Church of Christ. You are very honored and distinguished guest of our call. Appreciate you so very much for being on and knowing that we in the Church of the Christ believe that the Bible is right and every word of the Bible is right. If you want to save your soul, you're going to have to obey the book called the Bible. Believing that Jesus hung, bled, and died on that cross without ever seeing him with your eyes. But you believe it because you can read this book. That blood he shed on the cross will wash your sins away in baptism, according to the Bible, Revelation 1 and verse 5. Jesus gave that great commission, we call it, that we to preach this gospel to every creature, the good news that Jesus suffered on the cross, was buried, and rose again the third day. Upon believing that, one must be baptized, and the Lord would add him to the one church in the Bible, that is the Church of Christ, the only one we ever read about, and the only one I'll ever mention. As a church that you should be in to be saved, because there is only but one God, one Lord, one Father, and one church, yeah, that's one church, that's the body of Christ, the Church of Christ, that's the only one in the book, my friend. So good to have you on this morning. Visit from other congregations, may God bless you for being with us, and we pray you be blessed by the message this morning. Do want to say that Brother Stroud and I had a great time being fed ourselves as ministers. We went to a lectureship to be studious and to be taught ourselves, and so we must have our continuing education as well. I feel like I've been in school for the last year, but this lectureship was an endorsement to that as well, that additional studies from these sound preachers. We were able to study together and receive some great information that we'll be sharing as well. So y'all pray for us as we continue to grow. I want to just say to the church, Holland Heights, we're not restricted by COVID anymore from going to the church building. This is not the church building is under construction. When we go back, it is our desire for everyone to go back at one time. So let's pray about that. Let's pray that the construction can be speedily. We have to replace all the fire systems, sound systems, carpet, and pews. And there's no sense in going in there with just a few. But when we finish and it's approved by those contractors that it's safe to go back in the building, then we'll open the doors, and everyone will be welcome back to the doors all at the same time. So it's not COVID-related anymore. This is because we had the problem with the freeze and certainly have a lot of damage at the church. So stay away from the church building. It's not safe there. And we appreciate those who are the trustees and those brethren who are leading the effort to construction. Just stay by. Be prayerful. God is going to bless us to get through this as well. Now, let's look at the Word of God this morning. And after the uproar, it's the title of this lesson, After the Uproar. Now, in Acts chapter 20, the Bible says, and after the uproar was ceased, Paul called unto him the disciples and embraced them and departed for to go into Macedonia. When he had gone over those parts and had given them much exhortation, he came into Greece. Now, to remind you, last week before last, when I taught the lesson about the man named Demetrius, and I talked a lot about it and in detail about how one man can cause a lot of confusion, uproar, and that we've seen that today in the world that we live in today. This whole city, because of Demetrius, was filled with confusion. Just doing this as a recap to remind you how we got to chapter 20. What uproar are they speaking of here? It was filled with confusion because they thought that the preaching of Jesus would cause them to lose money. It wasn't about salvation. Demetrius was concerned about losing his money and his craft, and I talked about that. And I related it also to men today are just as guilty, even in the Lord's church. I'm sorry to say that they would do anything to make more money. Men are guilty today telling people what they want to hear. Because if they don't tell them or they just give in to what the membership wants in the Lord's church, they'll lose members. We have men who will shake hands, shake people in, who will baptize in the Baptist church and baptize in the Methodist church or other denominational churches, knowing that those baptisms not the one true baptism, as I believe they're not. They allow those people to come in to the church and say they're saved. They're putting people's souls at stake to get more members. And then we have, as we talked about last week, week before last, the man-made doctrine, the man-made churches that we see on every corner. All this is related to making money. They've commercialized Christianity. As you see a church on every corner with different names, pastors and bishops and men who are wearing robes and just driving airplanes, flying in airplanes, flying in helicopters all across the different campuses to get more money, making more money. It's all about money. It's all about money. But you know, the love of money is the root of evil. But understand this. God only built one, Jesus only died for one church. It was the Church of Christ. Denominationalism is sinful. And we won't at all handshake nobody in that was baptized or taught by someone who wasn't taught the whole truth. What do you mean by that, brother? You can't tell someone that the baptism is for the remission of sin in the Lord, then you end up in the Baptist church or end up in the Methodist church or the Catholic church. You couldn't have taught from this book because no one could have ended up in a Baptist church or a Methodist church or a Catholic church. Now, to our friends who are listening that may be members of the denominational church, said, the ones I'm calling, I was a Baptist one time. It's not because I knew what the Bible said, though. I was Baptist because that's where my family was. And it's good people. This is not about the people. This is about what we were taught. And I'm saying today that we have the same problem. And it was about men have caused the problem that we have today. Men started these churches on the corner. Man can put his name on a church building now and just teach whatever he wants to teach in the name of Jesus. And people will go to it. They'll go to it and they'll give their funds and pay their tithes, as they say. So this is the problem that we are facing today. And that was the problem that was faced back then. Men who are greedy, filthy lucrative, they want money. And that's what you're seeing in the world today. The TV evangelists that we see on TV, it's all about donations. It's all about money coming in. Well, they'll do whatever, they'll tell people anything they want to hear. Yeah, just accept Jesus as your personal Savior and then go find you a church. Well, you know, the thing about that is that you can't just do what you want to do to go to heaven. You got to decide if this Bible is what you're going to follow. If you're going to follow the Bible, then you have to do what God said do in order to save your soul. It's pretty simple in my mind that the people that are going to be lost will be people who did not believe 100% in the Bible. Those are the people going to be lost. They didn't believe in the Word of God. Because if they believed in the Word of God, then they will follow what it says. If you're in a burning house and you got a way out of the burning house, you got to believe that your life is in danger before you're gonna follow the way out. It's kind of like being in an airplane crash. They say follow the lights to get out to safety. If it's dark in there, if you want to get out and you believe your life is in danger, then you follow the lights. So to get out to save your soul, you got to follow the light. And the light is God. God is light. The Word of God is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. That's what we got to remember. The light to safety for our souls is the Word of God. And that's what men have left. And I mentioned all those men who started the Catholic Church was a man. Who started the Baptist Church? That was a man. Who started the Methodist Church? A man. Who started the Mormon Church? A man started it. God didn't start these churches. And so that's what we talked about. That's a recap from that. And go back and listen to that sermon. One man, Demetrius, for more details on that. Now, because of Demetrius, there was this uproar. And Paul is now transitioning. So he baptized a lot of people into somewhat of an aftercare program. You remember in Matthew 28:18, Jesus said, all authority has been given to me in heaven and earth. Go teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. And then he says something else. It comes after we baptize people, he said, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever. So I commend you. So what we're looking at here, and this is what I want to talk about this morning, is, brother and sister, listen carefully. There's no such thing as once saved, always saved. That's one thing Brother Stroud and I have really talked about this week, being together and talking about the future of how the heights of what we must do. Understanding that this is one thing we got to understand is that we got to baptize people. Yes, we do. And that's my focus primarily as an evangelist here. I'm doing a lot of things to try to bring people into the body of Christ through teaching them the first principles of what they must do to be saved. And then if we listen to Brother Stroud's lesson, his more family oriented, more Christian living, and that's our combination to try to deal with both the lost non-member and the lost members. And then the third part of it is to keep the saved saved. So you got to have both. That's what kind of makes our ministry, as we think of it, jail, because I'm a more of evangelistic focus, and Brother Stroud more of a Christian living focus. And in other words, we care about both. However, we try to use our tools to be the best we can and to bring the most we can. And we need to pray for elders. That's what we need to be doing. If there are men in our congregation that are close to becoming an elder, we appeal to your heart to become, to let us know that you have this desire to become an elder. Let me just say to everybody, Brother Brooks, know there's a need for eldership. We know that. We are praying about that. You need to be praying about that. But they must qualify. Bottom line, we lay hand on no man suddenly. And this is what we're going to do. We're going to ordain soon as somebody we know qualifies say yes to us. And we're going to put them in there. We're going to put them in there. That pastoring is necessary, that Paul said to the elders in Ephesus that after his departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock, Acts 20:28. And so we see that when there's a need to keep the saved saved. What do we do now? We got to also, as Paul is looking at here, Paul looked at, he went back because of the uproar. He called him the disciples and embraced them. See that in verse number one, he embraced them and departed to go to Macedonia. And when he had gone over those parts, he had given them much exhortation, which is what I'm trying to do today, to understand that the emphasis this morning is on knowing that when we say a person is lost, it can be a person who had never been baptized into the Church of Christ. It can also be a person who has been baptized in the Church of Christ, but they've fallen by the wayside or they're weak. And that's why Paul says in Galatians 6:1, brother, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye who are spiritual, restore such one. See, there would be no reason to restore a person if they could never fall. And so that's what we have to work together. Now, this is a responsibility for not just for Brother Brooks. It's not just for Brother Stroud. It's for all of us. It's important. It's something we have to remember, congregation, Highland Heights. When we baptize new members, we have to focus on, they're like new babies coming into the church. And they're going to go back to the world. If we don't get them and get them taught, and they're going to be confused about religion. They're going to be confused if we don't get them taught. We can't. No one brings a baby home from the hospital and tell them to go live on their own. We teach them how to walk and talk. We feed them. We spoon feed them. And then we wait till they get teeth before they start getting more meat. That's the same concept that God has. For those who are baptized, they're called babes in Christ. They're babies. And that's something we have to remember. And that's something that you need to remember, that if a person comes into the church and we baptize them, you're dealing with a babe in Christ. And that's how we got to manage it. That's how we got to consider these things that I'm talking about, that this babe in Christ has to be taken care of. It's all of our job to reach out and try to keep people saved and help these newcomers and their members who have fallen by the wayside. We have to help them as well, try to get them back to the church. So we got to be concerned with the new babes. We got to be concerned with those who have fallen, members of the church who are weak. So we need to call, contact, embrace, and exhort members of the church to stay with the truth. See, after this uproar, Paul said, I got to go back and take care of these people that have been shook up over all the stuff Demetrius did. And you know what? You live in this world, we go through the things we're going through right now with the pandemic being throwing people in uproar, folks are stuck in their homes and all kinds of things going on in the world we live in. You can easily get distracted and fall by the wayside. This is why our armed ministries are so important. And I'm going to appeal now to the armed ministry leads. So as we approach the return to the building, I'm asking all of the leads, and the brethren who are responsible for these ministries, for the senior Sam, the senior adult ministry, for young adult ministries, for the middle-aged adult ministries. I'm appealing to you, and I'm asking your wives to remind you, to help us. Let's start kicking up the activities with these different ministries to try to find out, reach out, if you would, to those in your ministry and see if we can exhort and make sure that this uproar we're dealing with is after this pandemic. It's kind of after the uproar, too. But we kind of all been shook up here a little bit with everything been going on in this world. You know, you got all kinds of stuff, injustices going on. Things are happening. People's lives. People are losing loved ones. People are dealing with sicknesses. They're dealing with this disease that has brought so much death to the world. And so I'm appealing to Holler Heights. Let's make sure we up the effort through our own ministries. And for those who are joining us from other congregations, we call that age-related ministry. So our young adults can help the young adults, and senior adults can help the senior adults, and we all work together to try to keep everyone saved. That's what we want to do. Saved. The key word is saved, lost and saved. So can you be lost by not being baptized? Yes. Can you be lost if you're a babe in Christ and you haven't been taught and you haven't had the milk, as the Hebrew writer talks about? Everyone that uses milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness. Well, he is a babe, Hebrews 5 and verse 13. See, but strong meat belongs to those who can eat it. So I'm just trying to keep it simple here. So to the babes, those who are in the church, you may say, well, brother, I was baptized 10 years ago. But you could have been baptized 10 or 20 years ago. But maybe you never engage in study of the word of God. You're going to need to have the word of righteousness in you, and you need to be skillful in how to use it to keep your own soul protected. So what I'm saying to you, it doesn't matter how long you've been in the church. Have you been taught properly the first principles? Which leads me to the next discussion I want to have this morning to everyone on the call. Sometimes you got to evaluate how well you've done educationally, how educated you are in the Bible, and be honest with yourself. If you say, well, Brother Brooks, I don't know the Bible. Well, maybe you need to consider first principle class. Brother Michael Foreman is the teacher of our first principle class. And if you're on the call today, and you don't have to be a brand new member of the church, I stayed in first principle class, the same material he's teaching, for 2 years. I contribute my foundational belief to the 2 years of the same book Brother Michael Foreman is teaching from. You got to know your foundational belief must be established in order to have a substance, a substance. If I was standing in front of you, I would take the Bible and stand on top of it. The Bible is the substance of things hopeful. You have faith coming by hearing by the word of God. We walk by faith and not by sight. What faith? The faith is the Bible. And that faith that we stand on, that faith that we must be our foundational belief, comes from the basic teachings of the New Testament and knowing how you are to live this life. So I'm appealing to those who are new members of the church. We baptize you, but you have not been to classes. You're not going to grow like that. And so I encourage you to join on Wednesday night, 7:30, Brother Michael Foreman the first principle class. And right now, if you want to write this down, and we'll put it in group me. I've talked to Brother Form this morning. The conference line is 612-421-0950. That's 612-421-0950. The code is 571-521. He's got a book now. He's using it. All the lessons are in there. They're at the building. You can go by there Saturday and get you one. The trustees will be there. Someone will be there to be able to hand those books out to you. Just telling you, you want one of the first principle, a new convert class, Michael Foreman class books. And I just say some of us in the church, if you've never gone through first principle, maybe you need to do it for a little bit. Just go back to the first principle and let him. He's talking about worship now, understanding worship. He's on page 32, so just get that book, study it, join Brother Foreman, and consider your salvation. Consider, because if you're on a media call, like we're doing the parables on Sunday, Brother Stroud on Wednesday, Brother Stroud and I are doing the prayer, that's the more media study. You know, you need to get on where you can get the milk. And you don't be ashamed to say, I need to go back to the milk. Don't be ashamed to say that, because that's going to bless your life. And once you grow in the Lord, then it's less likely that you will fall and lose your soul. So what are we doing this morning? Encouraging, embracing, exhorting. This is what Paul did. He went back and exhorted these people who were new to the church, because the church had been in existence that long, and this man has already called an uproar. And I'm saying the same thing today. We got to remember that there are members of the Church of Christ at Hollow Heights that we baptized even over the last year since we've been in this program, since we've been online. We have new members that have not attended. We also got, if you know members, you all know men and women, sisters and brothers and sisters who were with us when we was at the building, and they were new to the church then. Please pick your phone up and call them. Please reach out to them. I'm appealing to those. And I know there are some of you on the call that's probably already doing it, but I'm asking others to help out by doing that. Think about somebody that you know that you can reach out to. Or if you go to call Brother Foreman and ask him how you can help him, and see if we can get everyone into the class. I understand the class numbers are going up right now, but I know there's a need for it to continue to improve if we're going to grow up the church here. Now, what causes people to fall? In this case with Demetrius, it was a man. In our case, it's going to be the same thing. It's going to be the same thing. If people, we got to get the members to believe in the Bible. We got to get the new babes to believe that the Bible is right. Remember, it's man-made doctrine that will confuse you, not the truth of the Word of God. Our job, brothers and sisters in Christ, is not to make people believe what we believe, only to share with them what we believe from the Holy Bible, which is right. The Bible is right whether a person believes it or not. The Bible is the answer to saving of your soul. And I just believe that if a person is honest, a person who is honest, they will receive and they believe that the Bible is right. You won't have to argue with that person about the truth. They're going to believe it because they believe the Bible. When they read one, they're going to believe one. Yeah, they're going to believe it. And so the seed that must be planted in the heart of a man is called the Word of God, Luke 8 and then verse 11. Jesus said, now the parable is this, the seed is the Word of God. But listen to verse 12. For those that by the wayside are they that hear, then cometh the devil and take away the word out of their hearts, lest they should believe and be saved. See that? So the devil is going to take that seed away from those we planted in their mind. The devil will be those who are men and women who going to take, yeah, you know, well, I know that's what they teach in the Church of Christ, but girl, child, you don't have to believe that. You know, God is not going to cause you to be lost because you ain't in the church other than the Church of Christ. Well, they going to say those things, but remember, faith comes by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. Romans 10:17. Hebrews 11:6, without faith it's impossible to please him. He that comes to God must believe. Must believe. So you must believe. People must believe. But Jesus is saying it. Those on the wayside will be those, the devil's going to come and take away what we tell them. That's why you got to grow. That's why you got to go and get the Word in you so that you don't be, the devil can't snatch away the truth from you. Then verse 13, he said, they on the rock are they which when they hear and receive the word with joy, these have no root, which for a while believe and in time of temptation fall away. See, these people, in this case, verse 13, the rock, it don't go in. It's all just kind of hard-headed. You heard it, and you happen to hear it, the truth, but it never took no root. And you never grew because it didn't take no root. You know, you could be hard-headed and not go to Bible class. It's not going to help you. You gotta receive. You said, "Man, I'm glad I got baptized. I'm glad I'm in the church," but you did nothing else. You don't get on this afternoon at 3:30. You won't get on for more information. See, the Word of God is going to be the seed that plants in your mind. And when it plants, every seed takes root before it grows. But if it gets not on good soil, I'll get there in a minute. If it don't get into the mind, it's not going to grow. You're not going to grow. In verse 14, he says, and them that which fell among the thorns, that which fell among the thorn, when they heard it, go forth or choke with cares and riches and pleasures of life, and bring no fruit to perfection. Now you see this? Look at that. In verse 14, we see now that there's another problem here. This is those who fell among thorns. And I'm just kind of breathe. We detail this parable. There's a lot more I can give you, but I just want to see the seed. Emphasis here is on the seed falling where it needs to fall. And they, in verse 14, it said, that which fell among the thorns, which when they heard, go forth and are choked with cares and riches and pleasures of life, bring no fruit. So what chokes out the word of God is when we have more, everything else is a priority. The cares of the world, trying to go to school and make money and go to jobs and increase your income and are enjoying life, and you put God's word on the back burner, there will be no fruit for perfection or maturity. You can't grow that way. You got to have your priorities together. You have to list your priorities. God got to be first. He can't be second on your list of priorities. God got to be on the top of the list. When you prioritize your life, you got to prioritize God as number one in your life. Everything else is secondary. That's why Jesus said, seek ye first the kingdom of heaven. Seek ye first the first priority. God cannot be an afterthought. He can't be priority two. Your study, your growth cannot be priority two. It has to be priority one. If it's priority one, let me tell you how you can evaluate yourself. If you're going to get on this morning at 9, but you won't get on at 3:30, God is not priority one. If you're going to get on this morning, but you don't get on at 3:30 this afternoon, and you won't get on Wednesday in a normal Bible class time, God is not your priority. He said, Brother Brooks, I'll work. Okay? And your point? So, because he just said, it choked with cares and riches and pleasures of life. And so I believe that when you want to study, there's a way, because there's study opportunities all during the week at Hollow Heights. Sunday, Monday morning, 7:30, working then? 7 to 7:30? Are you working Tuesday from 12 to 12:30? Are you working Thursday night, 9 to 9:30? Are you working Friday from 12 to 12:30? Do you have any time on Saturday to study for Sunday morning? So you can be on and on. So you're working? Okay. But what does that say? Now you evaluate for yourself, because God already knows. You already know if you are not putting God first. But my warning is, my exhortation and encouragement is this warning is that, you know, your life going to be in a shambles. If you get something going on in your life where your life is at stake or you're sick and all this, you're not going to be okay with the Lord because you're not going to have the spiritual foundation you need. That's why I'm putting emphasis on going back to first principle class and making sure you get established and everything. In verse 15, he says, but on that good ground are they which, and notice this, in an honest and good heart, having heard the word, keep it and bring forth fruit with patience. Look at what Jesus closed with. He said this, in verse 15, Luke 8, the good ground or the good mind, ask yourself, do you have a good mind? Do you have a good heart? is you, do you have good ground for the word of God to see to fall into? He said, here's how you know. Honest and good heart. And here's how you know if you're honest. If what I just said, and I just gave an example of someone who God had not put God first, and that's you, the only way you're going to correct it is being honest enough to say, he's right, I'm that person. I'm that person. That I have to be good. Honest, what does that mean? I mean, honesty is important because you would never repent if you're not honest. You would never say to yourself, I'm lost, if you're not honest. You got to be honest. And this is for those who are visiting with us. You know, if I show you in the Bible, there's one church, and you say, well, I don't believe it, then here's what you need to be honest about, is that you don't believe the Bible. Because God's word will not work in your mind until you're honest enough to say one means one. Those that have a good heart, that just means good ground. Like when you, if anybody here in anything know about farming, what you look for is good, fertilized dirt to put the seed in. You don't want to put the seed in clay and something else that is muddy. And you want good, rich soil. And what we were doing home, my uncle and them, we would till up the ground, put fertilizer in it before we put the seeds in. Why? We want a good ground. That's what we mean by good. Honest people are people that will listen to the message and keep it and respond to it. Those people will be saved. People who will not be saved will be people that I just talked about. The thorny, the stone, the rock, heart. The only people, including members of the Church of Christ, that's going to be saved will be those with good ground so that the word of God can work when you're taught. One thing I'm liking about the conference is that this is a time to kind of lecture. Think about it. You have to be taught to live the Christian life. You just can't come out of the water and start living it. You don't. It's not designed. It's designed for you to be taught. Now, when you're taught, you must understand that the word of God will help you if you do what it say do. Listen to James chapter 1. In James chapter 1, the Bible says, in James chapter 1, blessed is the man that endured temptation. When he tried, he shall receive the crown of life which the Lord had promised to them. There's going to be a blessed man who endured temptation. How are you going to know how to endure temptation? You're going to have to learn the word of God. Drop on down to verse 19. There's some things you got to stop doing. Chapter 1 and verse 19. He says, wherefore, my beloved brother, James, chapter 1, verse 19. Let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. For the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. Then he says, verse 20, wherefore, lay apart all filthiness and superfluity and naughtiness, and receive how? With meekness what? Listen now. The engrafted word, which is able to do what? Save your souls. And verse 22, he said, be ye doers of the word and not hearers only. So a person with a good and honest heart will hear the word and they will do what it says. That's how you're going to be saved. No one will be saved by hearing the word and not doing it. James says, if any man be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he behold himself and go his way, and straightway forgetting what manner of man he was. But whosoever looketh to the perfect law of liberty and continue therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the word, this man shall be blessed. Who's going to be blessed? Those of us who can listen to God's word, look in the mirror and say, you know what, that's me. If I put a stain on your face this morning about your priority, then you have to say, Brother Brooks is preaching the word of God. It's going into my mind. I have a good heart, which means I got good ground to receive God's word with meekness, and that word will help you save your soul. If you can't look in the mirror and say, that's me, then you're going to go away like I wasn't even talking to you, and you're going to die in your sins. But if you look in the perfect law of liberty, which is the word of God, and you continue therein, and be not a forgetful hearer, and do what it says, the Bible says you're going to be blessed. That's the emphasis this morning. I'm emphasizing this morning that after the uproar, the people had to know what to do to stay saved. And that's what Paul put emphasis on, and that's what I'm putting emphasis on this morning. So I'm hoping that and praying that we're reaching your heart. My main concern, more so, my main concern is the new babe, but there's another concern with members who have gotten to the point, you've been in church so long, you bleed, you dare. You have no initiative or no desire to go above and beyond. Let me tell you something. People are dying every day. What would be a tragedy for me to be in my golden years, or for someone who's made 70, 80 years old, and God bless you to live that long? Yes, I'm talking to the senior citizen. I'm talking to the elderly people on the call. What would be tragic if God gave you 80 to 90 years to live and you never got to the point where you grew beyond a baby? You never prioritized God to be first in your life. When I talk to people who are senior people who are outside of the Church of Christ, and they're up in age, it amazes me that they are not so concerned at that age. Don't you know? This is not the scare tactic, but you got to come to a reality. There was a lady, I spoke at the lectureship, she came to me in her older age, and she said, I want to go down front every week. I wanted to go tonight. I don't understand how anyone could hear your message about the cross tonight, Brother Brooks. I wanted to watch. It seemed like everybody should have went down. Especially at my age. This lady had to be in her 80s. She said, especially at my age. And knowing that, I told them about the family portrait. Go look at your family portrait. People are dying. When I look at my family portrait, my mom and dad, and I'd see my mom, dad, my sister, and my brother gone. And I have three sisters and a brother left. That's all left in mom and daddy's family portrait. I can't walk around here like Tommy's face may not be the next one that leaves our portrait. But then when I look at Tom and Sharon's portrait and my kid, Sharon is out of the picture now. Now, have you taken a moment to look at your family portrait? Because if you're elderly, you should be able to look back at all your brothers and sisters and friends and graduates of your classes and see something amazing happening here. It shouldn't be amazing. Something very obvious happening is that you're in that last group. That's what Solomon said. Generations are coming and going, you all. And so to our senior people who are 60, 70, 80, I'm in that 60, 70, 80 range now. We can't think that we're going to make it to be 100. We just buried Sister Hattie yesterday. You know, she didn't make it to 100. How many people can we list? Charlie, my sister. How many of you know someone who didn't make it to 80, didn't make it to 90? You know, think about that. Think about it. If you're on the call today and you're a visitor and you're in your golden years and you have not been baptized for the remission of your sins, you are not in the one true church, you don't take the Lord's Supper every Sunday, what are you thinking about? Why don't you nail down your belief and say, I got to believe the Bible. I don't have a lot of time left. No, you don't. But guess what? Young people are going to do the same thing. Death has no age. I'm just putting emphasis on those who have been blessed to go beyond what God promised, or in those years what God promised you. It's time to put God first. Don't you think? And then to the young people on the call, even our teens, young people are dying. Just heard recently, just hearing or listening to news, young people dying. Being killed. Dying in car wrecks. 13, 20. 10. 7-year-old, dying. Folk are dying, you all. Look at your family portrait. To a mother, to a father on the car. What if it's your child you have to bury? What are you going to do then? Look, the mother of the 7-year-old that was shot here in a drive-by, a road rage case. And she If I understand it, she said made some gestures to a driver. I'm not sure if it was here. I've seen it on news. But see, you got to be careful how you just confront people. You can't. And so this guy is turning the road rage, and he shoots in the car and kills her 7-year-old boy. Now they buried him. I think he was 7. And be that mother. That because of your actions, because you couldn't control your behavior, your son got killed because somebody got mad at you. I understand that she made suggestions at him or something at the driver, and he got upset and he started shooting every car around him and shot that little boy. Now, that don't make it right. I'm not saying that. But I'm saying the tragedy is going to be those of us in the church who had the same kind of behaviors that caused our children to be lost. Because we didn't prioritize our lives. We didn't learn how to live, how to manage our control our anger. If that woman would have been a Christian, she'd have known when somebody acting nut on the freeway and they try to, you don't take action and turn it into a rage. You just humbly accept whatever they can do, whatever they can say, whatever they want to me. I say, go ahead. I'll pull over and let you get around. I'm not going to talk back. I'm not going to wave at them. Be careful about just blowing your horn at somebody acting mad. Folks will kill you today. But when you're a Christian and you learn how to live as a Christian, then those kind of behaviors, you don't, anger don't lead to wrath. You can get upset at somebody. You know, just sitting there lighting somebody, don't know how to pull, you get on your horn, blah, blah. I encourage you to look at a movie called Unhinged if you have never watched it. That'll stop you. And I'm only saying, when people are in the receiving God's word and learning to live by it, you will experience Christian growth. You will experience growth. And I'm telling you that much of our growth, lack of growth, is related to people not being studious. The Bible says, study and show thyself approved unto God, a workman that need not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. If we lose members of the Hollow Heights or anywhere, and we try our best to teach them the word of God, but they choose not to prioritize, they choose not to come to class, it's not our fault that they didn't come. It's not our fault that they don't believe. It's not my fault that you don't believe what I'm saying this morning. It won't be my fault that you didn't take action on your own life. I'm not going to be held responsible for you. You're going to be responsible to answer to God for yourself. You must believe in the Bible. If you believe in the Bible, you can't say what I told you this morning, what I taught you from Word of God is not true. Jesus said only a few would be saved. Why? The few people will be those who receive the Word of God with meekness. And so we can't run behind people trying to make them believe. I just say relax. If a person, you teach a person from the Bible and they don't believe it, that's not your fault. That's that person's fault. That person has to choose to believe that the Bible has the right answers. When they choose that the Bible has the right answer, I'm going to tell you something. No one can visit the Hollow Heights or the Church of Christ who believe in the Bible and say we taught anything wrong. They can't do it. They can't do it because we speak what the Bible speaks. And we're silent what the Bible says. But let me remind all of us that everybody going to go to the grave with some kind of belief system. Some people will believe traditional beliefs. They be like their mom and dad. They said, my mom was a Baptist. My cousin told me. He said, I was born a Baptist. I'll die a Baptist. Well, first of all, that's not the truth. You're not born no Baptist. You're born a human being. That's what we are. You'll die a human being. Not born a Christian. A Christian, to become a Christian, must be born again. What do you mean by that? Not the physical birth, but spiritual birth. That happens in baptism. When you're baptized, that's your spiritual birth. You can be 80 and be a baby in the family of God. You're 80 years old, get baptized today, and you're a baby in the family of God, and you need to go to class. You need to be taught how to drink and eat food. You need to be taught how to walk and talk. And that way, I encourage you, if you really want to learn how to walk and talk, get on these calls. Get on this evening again, 3:30. But I'm going to be talking about some of the same things I'm talking about. Because we've already compared notes in some ways. We don't even have to do that because the Word of God always seems to come together for us when we need it to. So with that being said, I encourage everyone, be careful that your belief system not based on some tradition of your parents. Like Jesus said in Mark 7:7, he said, in Mark 7:7, he said, howbeit in vain they worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. For laying aside the commandment of God, you hold the tradition of men as the washing of pots and cups and many other such like things you do. Notice this. He said, full well you reject the commandment of God that you may keep your own tradition. So many people are just doing what mama did. And that can be members of the church, that can be non-members. You can just do what your mama never went to Bible class, so you don't go to Bible class. All you saw your mama do, she was a member of the Church of Christ, yes, she was. Your daddy was a member of the Church of Christ, yes, but they only did morning services. That's all they ever do. So I'm continuing that same tradition to go to worship only on Sunday morning. I never went in the evening. And you've been doing that ever since we've been on the call. You only join the 9 a.m. call. You take a communion, and that's enough for you. Well, maybe that's because that's what you saw with your mama. Maybe that's what you saw with your dad. If you're on the call today, maybe you're a Baptist because your mama was a Baptist, or you're a Baptist because your mama. But that's you can't not be saved based on what mama believed or what daddy believed. It must be what the Word of God believed. So what I want to say here is that be careful about ignoring the truth in the Scripture. Paul said in Romans 10:1-3, brother, my heart, desire, and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. Watch this now. Well, I bear them record they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. For they've been ignorant. Now, ignorant is not a bad word. Somebody said, well, you ignorant. That just really upset me because you called me ignorant. Well, ignorant, if you just take and spell it right, ignorant, it really means to ignore the root of it. You can ignore God's righteousness or God's way to be saved and go out to do it your own way. That's what Paul said. And not submitting yourself to the righteousness of God. You can't be saved the way you want to be saved. You can ignore what's in the Scripture. Or you can pay attention to it and listen to it and establish your righteousness according to what God has said and not according to what you or your mom said. Now let's go back to eyes closed here in Acts 20, verse 7. And there abode three months, and when the Jews laid wait on him, he was about to sail into Syria. He purposed to return to Macedonia to prevent losing disciples that Paul had converted to Jesus. He exhorted and encouraged them for about 3 months. He took some time to go back. So brothers, sisters, and leaders of Highland Heights, we have to give necessary time to our members to prevent them from falling back into a confused world. And as I said earlier, it's not just my job, it's not just Brother Scott's job, it's not just Brother responsibility, Brother Foreman's responsibility. Brother Foreman wants to teach you. He wants to teach you. He's teaching that class every Wednesday. He'd love to have you in the class. I hope his numbers go up after this. I hope his numbers just triple. More of you would consider what I'm talking about, that you're that person that you have to have an honest heart and say, you know what, I'm not strong as I need to be. Well, maybe you need some first principle teaching. You need some things that's going to give you a better foundation so that you don't fall by the wayside and lose your soul. In verse 4, and there accompanied him in Asia, so protect of Berea and of Thessalonians, Aristarchus and son Secundus and Gaius of Derbe and Timothy of Asia, Tychius and Trophimus. These going before tarried for us, Luke talked about for us, meaning him and Paul, at Troas. We sailed away from Philippi after the days of unleavened bread and came unto them to Troas in 5 days, where we abode 7 days. Now, see, everyone would not return from the truth, but many will. However, we must move with true believers of the word. We must understand that we can talk to many, but few are going to obey. That's something we got to understand. But I'm happy to be a part of, I believe, a sound congregation. I guess that's to everyone's, you have to decide for yourself. But I believe Highland Heights is a very sound and strong congregation. And we should be proud of what we're doing evangelistically, where we're reaching the world and the nation and what we have. And I know maybe some of you are probably feeling we're not active, but we've really done more this year in the last 12 months to get the gospel out to a world. We've done things that no other congregations have done. We did it together, not brother, but we did. It's our family. Everybody know about Holly. When I was in Branson, Missouri, the Holly Heights Church is known to be an outreaching church, congregation, and outreach. And I'm happy to be a part of this family. I pray you are too, because we have to stick together and work through this. this, I'm not enjoying being at home, not being at the building. I know you out, some of you probably, and so we know some people are going to other buildings where they're open, and that's perfectly okay with me. I'm not against that. I understand. You have to do what you think's best for yourself. If this is not working for you, you got to do what you think's best, because your souls are so important. That must be what we continue to focus on. So when we start seeing the numbers like we have, baptism and place membership, people there are uproars in families, uproars in homes and families in the world we live in. People, houses have been, homes have been torn apart, and the churches are destroyed, and the families are being misled, and the police is being demonized. And when you got one or two bad apples, make all of them bad. That's not the truth, y'all. There's some Christian police officers out there. They're not doing none of that stuff these guys are doing. Those who kill, that man who killed George Floyd, going to have to answer to God. I'm going to tell you that. But that don't make every police officer a bad person. We can't buy into that narrative. We can't buy into what the world is trying to get us to believe about officers. God gave those to protect his children, if you read the Bible, Romans chapter 11, I think it is. But he give us authority. We are to pray for them. These people put in place for our benefit, for our blessing. They're for children of God. And so we learn these things. We have to understand how we are to live in a world that's in an uproar. What I'm saying, after the uproar, what we saw Paul do was pause and really focused on the members who were baptized. That's what he stopped doing. Paused. Luke tells us about it. They spent time there exhorting, and that's what Brother Brooks is trying to do this morning with this lesson. There's going to be a great uproar as I close on the day of judgment, when God, if you hear God say, depart from me, your work of iniquity, it's going to be weeping and gnashing and welling of teeth. We think we're dealing with some issues now. Dying in sins. That's when you got a real problem. Don't die in your sins. We'll pick up here next week. Verse 7, we're going to talk a lot about the first day of the week. And while we take communion on the first day of the week next week. On the call of the day, if you're visiting with us. Now, I've been kind of talking to you all through this call. I'm appealing to your heart to have the seed, to receive God's word with the seed. Your heart must be good. It must be good ground to take God's word in, or you're going to be lost. You can't be in the stone or thorny ground. You've got to have that good heart, that good mind to receive the word of God. So what do you do if you're not a member of the Church of Christ? First of all, do you believe the Bible? If you say, yes, I believe the Bible, then here's what the Bible teaches about what you must do to be saved. It says, Jesus said in Mark 16, 15 and 16, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. That's what Jesus said. So what is the gospel that you must believe and then be baptized? The gospel, according to 1 Corinthians 15, 1 through 4, is the story of the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. So here's what you must believe, is that Jesus came to live in this world, and they murdered him. They beat him with a whip. They put a crown of thorns on his head, and they executed him on Calvary. They drove nails in his hand. He carried that tree of the cross to Calvary, and that's where they murdered him at. They executed him, but he did it because he wanted us to be saved. God loved us, so loved us, that he gave his son. His son so loved us that he gave his life. And the father watched the travail of his son, Isaiah 53. He saw how they beat him. He saw how they spit upon him. He saw how they mocked him. And he saw how his son hung on that cross and suffered for 6 long hours. He cried with strong tears, Hebrews 5:7-8, in the Garden of Gethsemane before he went to that cross. He said, let this cup pass. He said, not my will, but your will be done. In other words, he was willing to do God's will. He did. He went to the cross, and then when he got on the cross, He screamed with a loud voice, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani, my God, why have thou forsaken me? God left him on that cross for us. Jesus became the lamb that had to be sacrificed, the lamb of God that would take away the sins of the world, the sin of the world. And you believe that with all of your heart. Then you will believe that he was on that cross without ever sinning. You will believe they took him down and buried him in the tomb. And you will believe that on Sunday morning, the first day of the week, that's why we take the Lord's Supper. That's the day of resurrection. You'll learn more about that next week. You will be taking the Lord's Supper on every Sunday if you believe that it was right. If you believe that Jesus resurrected, you won't wait to Easter Sunday, which is nowhere in the Bible. And worried about a rabbit laying a chicken egg. That didn't come from no Bible. It came from the Bible. Jesus said, this you do in remembrance of me. Talking about remembering him through partaking of the Lord's Supper. And you believe that because you believe he resurrected on that first day of the week. And you believe that he resurrected with all power. And you'll go to Matthew 28:18. He said, all authority in heaven has been given, all power in heaven and earth, heaven and earth has been given to me. Go teach all nations, baptizing them. I'm teaching you today, you must be baptized. What is baptism for, Brother Bruce? It's for the remission of your sin, Acts 2 and the verse 38. It's to wash away your sin, Acts 22 and the verse 16. In the water, you contact the blood of Jesus, Revelation 1 and the verse 5. In Revelation 1 and 5, it teaches us that Jesus says this to us. He says, and from Jesus Christ, who was the faithful witness, and first begotten of the dead, the prince of the kings of the earth, unto him that loved us, and what? Watch this now, and washed us from our sins in his own blood. So the blood is in the water. You ain't going to see no blood. You step in there believing the blood is in there because you believe in the Bible. And then your sins will be washed away, and then you'll be added to the one church, Acts 2:47. And that one church is the church of Christ, Romans 16:16. Paul says, salute one another with a holy kiss. The churches of Christ salute you. He said, Brother Booker, are you saying that I got to be baptized to be saved? Yes. Are you saying that there's only one church that I can be saved in, and it's called the Church of Christ? Yes. Are you saying that I'm supposed to be taking the Lord's Supper every Sunday? Are you telling me this? Yes, yes, yes. Now, you can't say you wouldn't tell me. And I gave you a direct answer. Yes, that's what I said. But I can also say, yes, that's what the Bible teaches. That's what. So if you're a visitor, I was very direct to you, intentionally. Why is that? Your soul is too valuable for me to play around with. Am I concerned about you being upset? Well, Jesus offended people with the truth. The truth offends if you don't believe it. It doesn't offend when you believe it. It only offends if you don't believe. And that Jesus said, let them alone. He said, you offend the people, said, let them alone. They be blind leaders of the blind. If the blind lead the blind, they both going to fall. Jesus said, let them alone. Because a person, you can't help a person who don't believe. Just read all of Matthew chapter 7, and you'll see all of that in there. Now, for those who are members of the church, I put some emphasis on you as well this morning and try to embrace and exhort you to focus on your salvation by putting God first. Coming home, if you need to, we're getting ready to have an invitation song. You can ask for forgiveness. You can make your confession. You can ask for prayer. Remember, don't get so big. Don't be so strong. Don't be so sure that you miss out on salvation. Don't be so strong. Let him that think he stand take heed lest he fall, that you can't fall. Don't let your age be the determining factor that you have arrived and you know enough to go to heaven. Don't get the 70 and 80 and do that. You got to want to know as much as you can and get as much out of your life as you can before your head pressed the down pillar. So I've talked to members of the church from all ages this morning, from early age to the young people on the phone to the kids that are listening. You focus on your well-being, focus on your soul, make your confession if you need to this morning. Ask for prayers. If you are fighting with something, if you're dealing with a sin that's overtaking you or you're not sure how to get out of it, ask us to pray for you. The prayers of the righteous are made in money. So at this time, we'll ask our song leader to come on. Give us a closed invitation song. And I'm appealing to those who are not members of the Church of Christ. Hit 5-star on your phone. If you want us to baptize you or find someone to baptize you, wherever you are, we will help you. We have people calling in, and not all in Houston, calling in from all over the place. And that's good. We want to help you. But you have to want to help yourself first. So you hit that 5-star on your phone, and we will do our part. But you got everybody on this call need to hear this. Until you decide your soul is the most important soul on earth, you're not going to do nothing to save your own self. You certainly ain't going to help nobody else. If a person don't save their own soul, you cannot expect that person to be worried about someone else's soul. It just won't work. You know that's right. So if you're on the call, you need prayer, we're giving you this time. Hit 5-star, 5-asterisk, and that'll raise your hand. Those who are not members of the church and those who are members of the church, those who need prayer, right now is your time to hit 5-star. After the song, we'll take your confession and prayer request. Thank you.